Dandy Town. She spent the summer there, a couple houses down.
Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Nearly one in five Americans live with some form of disability. How has the Americans with Disabilities Act affected their lives? We'll talk to an expert.
While it's been a tremendous way to empower people with disabilities to ensure they have access and legal abilities to protect their rights, in some cases, our culture hasn't changed when it comes to the way that people view people with disabilities.
Then, less than a third of science and engineering workers are female. We'll hear from a student who's trying to close the gap.
It's not necessarily girls not seeing that there's so much opportunity in STEM. It's more of us not having those role models, as many role models as perhaps our male counterparts do.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's show. Stay with us. InfoTrack begins right after this.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot with up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery like GE Profile. Simplify your routine with GE Profile appliances, from refrigerators with autofill pitchers and multiple dispensing options to all-in-one washer-dryer combos that can wash and dry a full load in under 2 hours. Shop 4th of July savings on top-brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Have you tried hands-free Skechers Slip-ins yet? Because if you haven't, you're missing out on technology that changes how you think about shoes. First, these are not just regular slip-on shoes. They're not just a pair of loafers without laces. But what makes them different is the technology inside that lets you just step into them. There's a built-in hidden shoehorn that slides your foot in, so they look, feel, and wear just like a pair of shoes you're used to. Except you don't have to bend down, struggle to put them on, or touch them. Try them at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
There are millions of Americans who suffer from some form of disability, but there are people working to make their lives better. Joining us is Philip Pauly, the Policy and Practice Director of the disability advocacy nonprofit Respectability. Philip, how many Americans have some form of disability?
The number might surprise you. Very simply, it's one in five Americans. To the total of more than 56 million Americans live with some form of disability. That means that, you know, one in five people has some form of impairment that impacts their activities of daily living. It could be anything from a chronic health condition such as lupus or arthritis, or it could be a traumatic injury such as a spinal cord injury, meaning that somebody is a wheelchair user, or it can be somebody that is born with a disability such as somebody with Down syndrome or other developmental disabilities.
The Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 clearly had a major impact in many ways. In retrospect, how would you say it's viewed by the disabled, and did it go far enough?
Well, the thing is about a law such as the Americans with Disabilities Act is that it was the Civil Rights Act for the one in five Americans who has a disability. It opened businesses, it opened homes, it opened hotels, hospitals, other places by requiring physical accessibility. And that has meant tremendous opportunities for more people to get out into their communities, to get out into the workforce. However, a law like that can only go so far. It can open legal pathways to protect your civil rights. That doesn't necessarily mean that attitudes and social stigmas around disability change. While it's been a tremendous way to empower people with disabilities to ensure they have access and legal abilities to protect their rights, it has still meant that our culture has had a long time to change. And in some cases, that our culture hasn't changed when it comes to the way that people view people with disabilities.
Speaking of culture, the media and Hollywood obviously have a major impact on how people see the world and how our culture and society moves. Have there been enough roles for the disabled, and have disabled people been given access to media coverage, do you think, or could that be improved?
It certainly could be improved, and I think there's signs that things are changing. So as it stands now, barely 2% of characters in film or television are characters with disabilities. And the vast majority of characters that have disabilities in film and television are almost always played by a white, able-bodied male who is what some people call cripping up. The thing is, when you have so many stories, when you have millions of Americans that live disability every day, they don't see their stories, they don't see their experiences reflected in the stories that our culture shares. However, I think things are changing. More and more, Hollywood is talking about diversity and inclusion, and I think people are starting to realize that disability needs to be part of every conversation about diversity and inclusion in Hollywood and in politics and in our culture. More importantly, television shows like the Emmy Award-winning reality series Born This Way, television shows like The Good Doctor are paving the way for authentic stories about people with disabilities to be told and to be successful.
Tell us about Respectability. What does the organization do, and what are some of the steps that it hopes to take in the future?
Respectability is a national, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that is dedicated to two interconnected missions. We fight stigmas and we advance opportunities. We fight stigmas by helping the media and Hollywood portray more accurate, more authentic portrayals of people with disabilities. We help them better understand what it means to talk respectfully about disabilities. And when it comes to advancing opportunities, we work through policymakers, employers, the workforce system, and empower self-advocates to pursue employment and share best practices.
If you could, say, wave a magic wand and have the world change in ways that would really make you happy as someone with your organization, what would some of those changes be?
I think for me, the biggest thing is that there are serious problems when it comes to educational attainment and thereby employment opportunities for people with disabilities. Nationally, only about 2/3 of students with disabilities are graduating with a high school degree. What that means is that hundreds of thousands of youth with disabilities every year leave the school system, and when the school bus doesn't come anymore, they have nowhere to go. They may face great challenges because it's a competitive workforce. People need credentials to get ahead in life, to earn an income and become independent. If I could wave a magic wand, I would make sure that more students had the chance to complete their high school degree, and at the same time, youth with disabilities had more pathways into the workforce if they weren't college bound, and if they are college bound, opportunities for internships and success afterwards.
When I was in college, one of my very closest friends was a gentleman who was blind. He was able to go into Manhattan, ride the subway all by himself. I mean, he was very much independent. Is that atypical, or is that more of a typical thing?
It's increasingly typical, and it's especially thanks to technology. It's really amazing how far technology has come to empower people with disabilities to live independently and to work in the community. One of the great parts of my job is I get to travel to different states to work with governors to promote workforce opportunities. I actually had the chance to do a day-long tour with Governor Walker of Wisconsin, and we went to different work sites where they're training people with disabilities to work in competitive integrated employment. And something that was really amazing to see was this young woman who had developmental disabilities and was nonverbal. It meant that due to the combination of physical and psychological problems, she couldn't speak. Yet she could have a conversation with the governor of her state because she had an iPad in her hands. She was able to answer his questions. She was able to show him how she did her job, just like anyone else. And that was really amazing. And it's a testament to what technology can do. Smartphones come every day with accessibility features, which can integrate people into the workforce. And more, there are ways that people can pursue their dreams, pursue their skills, and live independently.
Yeah, I can see that the technology is really going to make a difference now and going forward.
And to interject on that point, technology in some cases can only go so far. Uber, for example, is great because it democratizes car ownership. You know, a lot of people with disabilities are poor and they may not be able to afford their own vehicles, but they can use Uber. At the same time, not a lot of Ubers are wheelchair accessible and discrimination still takes place. So technology can take us so far, but changing social attitudes is also critically important.
Well, it sounds like your organization's doing some great work. Do you have any last thoughts for our listeners on this whole topic?
Absolutely. I think that at the end of the day, the important thing to remember is that people with disabilities are our neighbors, our loved ones, our family members. They represent millions of us, of people who want to succeed, who have dreams, who want to achieve independence and earn an income just like anyone else. The challenges that come with having a disability mean that somebody who, you know, if you give them a chance, will have the passion and the drive and the desire to succeed. And together, I think we can make that a reality for many more people.
Philip Pauly, Policy and Practice Director of the Disability Advocacy Nonprofit, Respectability. Philip, where can people find you on the web?
People can find us on our website at respectability.org. So that's RESPECTABILITY.org. You can follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on Facebook, and learn about the amazing work that we're doing, and sign up to become a volunteer.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Next, encouraging women and minorities to follow technical careers. That story coming up.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can easily find the right home insurance for you, even if it's not with Progressive. But if you don't choose us, then sure, okay, it's not going to work out. We're not going to cry about it or stay awake wondering what our future together would have looked like. We can't get emotionally invested, even if it sounds like we are. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer allows you to easily compare home insurance rates and coverages in one place, even if it's not with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I love you. I shouldn't have said that.
Shop 4th of July savings at the Home Depot right now and get up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery, like Samsung. From all-in-one washer dryers to smart refrigerators, upgrade to tech you can trust with Samsung appliances. The Home Depot has what you need to simplify your routine. Don't miss 4th of July appliance savings at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
This is InfoTrack, a balanced look at today's most important issues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Only 29% of all science and engineering workers are female, and far fewer are minorities. How can we encourage more women and minorities to pursue tech careers? With the story, here's InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Only about 3 in 10 science and technology workers are women, but now there's a growing number of groups to help girls and women learn to code, which creates software, apps, and websites. Joining us now is Natasha Ravanon, who some say is one of the top high school coders, and who founded a nonprofit to help girls code. Her new book is Girls with Dreams, Inspiring Girls to Code and Create in the New Generation. Natasha, before we get to the highly publicized issue of industry inclusiveness, some say that girls and women are not put off by the challenges of learning math and science required for coding, but simply are not motivated to get involved. Are they not seeing the exciting creative aspects of coding?
I think one of the main issues that's at hand that we really have to address that I find important is when young girls try to join science, try to join technology, they're not necessarily joining the ranks of previous women before them on a large scale. So for example, when some boys might want to join engineering, they have so many previous pioneers to look up to. They have people like Thomas Edison, they have people like Albert Einstein, so many famous faces that we all recognize. But if I just throw in a name, say Grace Hopper, the odds are that the average American is not going to recognize that name. And Grace Hopper was actually one of the most important visionaries of our time, who created the first coding compiler, which allows us to create the products that you mentioned today. And so what I believe is that it's not necessarily girls not seeing that there's so much opportunity in STEM. It's more of us not having those role models, as many role models as perhaps our male counterparts do. And that's so, so important, because only if we have inspiration and we have people to look up to can we really base ourselves on something that we'd like to accomplish, at least in this field.
But do you believe the creative aspects of coding get enough play in the media?
I believe that the creative aspects of coding do get enough play. But I do believe that at the same time, we need to work together to make sure that we're including people of all different origins, because we come from such different walks of life, we all have different creative things to add to the products that we make, to the technical innovation that we create. And so I do believe in that area, that's why we need to push for inclusiveness in this field.
Females, like males, frequently volunteer in social causes. So to get girls involved in coding, why not stress to girls the chance to create, say, an app to help a social cause?
There's actually a really phenomenal organization out there called Girls Who Code. And what they're doing is they're basically inspiring thousands and thousands of girls across the country to take up coding. And one of the things that they often stress is coding for social good. So I've seen numerous stories of girls creating apps, for example, to sort of de-taboo the issue of female menstruation. I've seen websites being created in order to encourage access to clean water in third world countries. And so I believe that not only is coding just a great, great thing in terms of our technological industry, but it's also great in order to get young people involved in social justice, get young people involved in coding actively to solve the problems of tomorrow and tackle the issues of today.
What advice would you give parents on actively introducing their girls to the possibility of a career in coding or computing?
In Girls with Dreams, I actually outline a three-step process that both families and communities can take together. The first C is change, and that starts with parents changing gender norms and gender biases within the household. So, for example, not necessarily steering their girls towards things like Barbies and dollhouses, but also pushing them to what some people would consider more male-centric toys, Legos, for example. The second C is cooperation. So families can cooperate with technical communities within their neighborhoods, organizations like Girls Who Code, in order to encourage their girls to try it out, see if they like it, and if they do, make sure they stick with it. And finally, the last C is commemoration. Commemoration is actively recognizing female technical pioneers that came before us, people like Grace Hopper, people like Sheryl Sandberg. And so I believe that if families follow this three-step process, it's definitely not only an easy way to introduce your girls to STEM, but it's also a very effective way to keep them in it.
What would you say to a girl who thinks boys won't like her if she's smart or pursues science and math?
This one actually hits a bit close to home, because I wanted to join a robotics club when I was about 10 or 11, and I was actively discouraged by the boys who were there who kept verbally abusing me, basically, because I wasn't one of them. So what I would say to the girl is it's not important how others view you. It's always the most important that you be doing the best that you can do for yourself. If you believe that coding is the way that you can help other people and you can better yourself, then I say go for it. Don't look back, and certainly you don't care about what anyone else has to think of you.
We're visiting with Natasha Ravanand, author of Girls with Dreams, Inspiring Girls to Code and Create in the New Generation. Natasha, why do you believe some girls in school gain and then lose interest in science?
One of the key drop-offs is around the middle school area, because up until middle school, girls are almost as interested in STEM as their male counterparts, despite societal influences from outside. But in middle school is where you really begin to become more self-conscious of yourself in the context of the other gender. And so you start gender segregating a lot more, and you start to realize the differences between us versus them. So when you have more males who are sort of grouping up in your science classes, and you feel like you're the outsider whenever you want to participate, you start to add in with those societal biases that you have, that women aren't cut out for engineering, or women aren't cut out for math. And so you begin to really just feel excluded from the norm. That's why I believe so many girls end up losing interest in STEM, because they don't have peers. And quite frankly, that's what organizations like Girls Who Code and my organization, She Dreams in Code, are trying to do. We're trying to encourage that camaraderie within girls within STEM, because that's one of the key things that actually keeps them within the industry.
You've interviewed CEOs and other high-level managers. What's the most important thing you've learned from them?
The most important thing I learned from them is the importance of female empowerment in high positions. So if you look at technical positions in companies in the Fortune 500 and Forbes, what you begin to see is there's a large overrepresentation of white and Asian males leading the company, leading boards of directors. And this is especially true in tech. You see very, very few women of minorities leading these technical companies. And so it's definitely a great step to start encouraging diversity overall in the technical workplace. But change starts from the bottom up, but it doesn't stop till you reach the top. So until we have equal representation in positions like CEO, CFO, board of directors, we haven't really achieved the change, because we're not having women of minority origin and we're not having women themselves be leading the change that we want to see.
You say there are contributions women can make in the tech world that men cannot. Give us a couple of examples.
Women make up a large portion of consumerist tech products. So one of the things that I believe is that when you have diversity, you just have more diversity of thought. And what I mean by that is when you have more diversity of thought, you just have better technical innovation, because each person can bring something different to the table. When you have a room and you have a workplace that's composed of entirely the same demographic, you're having a sort of stagnation of thought. And so when you have women join men, you're not necessarily bringing sort of a different skill set, but you're bringing a different diversity of thought. Thoughts of a woman who's experienced a uniquely different experience in life than perhaps their male counterparts. And so when you bring something like this to the issue of female consumerism, when you have female engineers create the technical products that female consumers are using, you really have a better product that's better suited to fit the needs of the consumer. And not only is that economically friendly for the company that's creating the product, it's also a lot better fit for the consumers themselves. And in the end, it just creates a more vibrant, more innovative workplace.
Girls with Dreams, Inspiring Girls to Code and Create in the New Generation. Natasha Ravanand, thank you for being with us today.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. A production of Syndication Networks.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, with up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery, like GE Profile. Simplify your routine with GE Profile appliances, from refrigerators with autofill pitchers and multiple dispensing options to all-in-one washer-dryer combos that can wash and dry a full load in under 2 hours. Shop 4th of July savings on top-brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology. See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Americans tend to put off dealing with their finances. One expert's simple advice is to simplify your money matters. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. We're joined by John Schwartz, the author of This Is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order. John, I think a lot of people can relate to the title of that book. What prompted you to write this?
Well, I didn't have my financial life in order. That's part of it. But also, it was getting pretty late in the game. I was in my mid to late 50s. I had not taken a hard look at where I was going to be in retirement. I didn't even have a will yet. So I thought, this is a really good time to step back and assess. On top of that, in my 50s, I thought, it's close enough to retirement to be scary, but still far enough away that I might be able to do something about it if I was on the wrong track.
So in your mid to late 50s, it's not too late, in other words.
No, it's not, especially if the question is one of adjustment. It's certainly a time to look at if you've been saving money in a 401k or an IRA all that time. It's certainly about time to start looking at, you know, what's the blend of your investment? Are you buffered? Are you protected from a financial hit if the stock market should go down? What are the risks and how much risk are you willing to take now as compared to when you were 20?
Yeah, that's a question that certainly is valid because the conventional wisdom is to ease out of the stock market as you hit retirement age. But today's seniors may need that growth because they could live another 30 years or more.
Well, it is. Apart from the prospect of getting hit by a bus, we've got a lot more years than our grandparents did ahead of us. And I'm now 61. I'm not looking to retire anytime soon. I've still got a lot of work I want to do. And in terms of my lifespan, my dad is about to turn 92, and he's still going pretty strong. So, you know, I can't just think at 65 things are going to be over and I'm just going to play golf. I don't want to learn how to play golf. I'd like to keep working.
One thing you discuss is getting a health insurance checkup. Tell us about that.
My employer, for example, offers options. I can pay a lower rate and have a higher deductible, a lower deductible and pay more per month, depending on your health and your family state, you might do better by paying less month to month and dealing with that big deductible if you take a health hit. At the same time, my employer offers options of HMOs versus PPOs versus managed care plans where it's best to stay in the network, but I'm not absolutely restricted to the network. That's a degree of freedom that we've liked, but many people in my company turn to HMOs instead and work all within a network. So the idea behind that part of the book is to look at what's going on with your health care, see if you've got the coverage you need, and figure out whether you're paying the right amount or too much.
You also write about life insurance. Many people who need it don't have it, and then there are people who don't need it who do.
Well, certainly if you're the head of a young family, if you've got a spouse, if you've got little kids, there's a lot of money that's going to have to be spent up ahead. And let's say you have that date with the bus and you're killed. Where's that money going to come from? You need a healthy amount of life insurance to make sure that your family's options aren't cut off because you're not there to earn the money if you're the major wage earner in the family. Later, let's say you're in my situation in my late 50s, we've sold this house, we're in pretty good shape, the undergraduate college debt was paid off. And so at that point, my needs for life insurance, when I looked into it, I found I had gone from being terribly, terribly underinsured during my 40s to being maybe a little overinsured in my late 50s. And I was able to adjust and then to look at ways to save money on the policies that I did get.
So, John, if someone's listening to this and they've neglected it for literally years, if you were going to suggest where to start, the first step, what would you say?
I would say that you've got to save. You've got to look at what you have saved if you have been saving. If you haven't, then it's still time to put something away because if you're 55 and if you might not be retiring until 65, that's 10 years to build a little cushion for yourself and to make it possible to have a little more comfort, even that sort of cushion against a financial hit, something that comes up unexpectedly. The old proverb says the best day to plant a tree is 20 years ago, but the second best day is today.
John Schwartz, the author of This Is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thanks. It's fun.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. Internet services provided by Pear.com. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack reporters Gina Tedesco and Roy Mackey, and our executive producer, Randy Meyer. I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line, and it all started right then and there. Oh, sailor sky made a perfect sunset, and that's a day I'll never forget. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget something like that. But it was 5 years later on a southbound plane, I was headed down to New Orleans. Meet some friends of mine for Mardi Gras. When I heard a voice from the past coming from a few rows back, and when I looked, I couldn't believe just what I saw. She said, I bet you don't remember me. And I said, only every other memory. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. You were killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. You had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget something like that. Like an old photograph, time can make a feeling pay. But the memory of the first love never fades away. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget. No, a heart don't forget. I said a heart don't something like that. Oh, not something like that.
From the state line to Menominee, you're in 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Perfect outside, it's like God let me dial up the weather. Got the whole crew here, I ain't seen some of them in forever. It's one of those never forget it, better stop and take it in kind of scenes. Everything's just right, yeah, except for one thing. You should be here, standing with your arm around me here, cutting up, cracking a cold beer, saying cheers. Hey y'all, it's sure been a good year. It's one of those moments that's got your name written all over it. And you know that if I had just one wish, it'd be that you didn't have to miss this. You should be here. Taking way too many pictures on your phone, showing them off to everybody that you know back home. And even
in your eyes and it wasn't right. I should've walked, but I never had the chance. Everything got out of hand and I let it slide. Now I only have myself to blame for falling for your stupid games. I wish my life could be the way it was before I saw your face. You stole my hand.
Older road damage from the recent storms, shingles falling off, siding looking rough? Don't stress. Get peace of mind with CB Exteriors in Hudson. Their expert team will inspect your home and give you a free estimate. Protect your investment before small issues turn into costly repairs. Call 715-723-6320 or visit CVExteriorsWI.com. That's CVExteriorsWI.com. CV Exteriors, your local storm damage pros.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Tell your smart speaker to play St. Croix Country.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
St. Croix Country Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine today and highs in the lower 80s. Our winds will remain on the light side. Overnight, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 50s, close to 60 degrees. Sunshine, lower 80s on Monday. On Monday night and Tuesday, a chance of showers and storms. It's 63 at our studios.
95.7 FM.
I spent last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana. And though I'm out on the highway, my thoughts are still with her. Such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Such a strange situation, stopping every 100 miles, calling Baton Rouge. A replay of last night's events rolled through my mind, except a scene or two erased by sweet red wine. And I see a truck stop sign ahead, so I change lane. I need a cup of coffee and a couple dollars change, calling Baton Rouge. Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta send my love down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, won't you put her on the line? I gotta talk to the girl just one more time. Samantha, dear, I hope you're feeling fine. And it won't be long
down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, won't you put her on the line? I gotta talk to the girl just one more time. Calling Baton Rouge, sweet Baton Rouge, my Baton Rouge. Oh.
Keep it real, like chill, like only have a drink or two. But it turned into a party when I started talking to you. Now you're standing in the neon, looking like a high I wanna be on. Baby, it's your call, no pressure at all. You don't have to throw on back your pretty pink lemonade shooter and lean a little closer. You don't have to keep on smiling, that smile that's driving me wild. And when the night is almost over, meet me in the middle of a moonlit Chevy Benz seat and do a little bit of country song hanging on. You don't have to keep me falling like this, but it sure be. Can't shoot me down, cause you've already knocked me dead. Got me falling apart with my heart talking out of my head. Let your mind take a little back road, just as far as you wanna go. Baby, I'll do whatever you wanna do. Song hanging on, you don't have to keep me falling like this, but it should be cool if you did. Have a night that you'll never forget. And now you're standing in the neon, looking like a high I wanna be on.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, cause the girl
singing while the girls are drinking. Long necks down, and I wouldn't trade old Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Escalade or your Freak Parade. I'm the only John Wayne left in this town. When I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city, I make a lot of noise, cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Thoroughbred, that's what she said in the back of my truck bed as I was getting buzzed on suds out on some backcountry road. We were flying high, fine as wine, having ourselves a big and rich time, and I was going just about as far as she'd let me go. But her evaluation of my cowboy reputation had me begging for salvation all night long. So I took her out gigging frogs, introduced her to my old bird dog, and sang her every Willie Nelson song I can think of, and we made love. And I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says,
in the morning. Country favorites all day long. 95.7 St. Croix Country.
I never stay in one place too long. A dirt road singing me a siren song. I gotta find a field. I need to spin my wheels. I gotta anchor in for four wide tires and I got a heart like a truck. It's been drugged through the mud. Runs on dreams and gasoline. And that old highway holds a key. It's got a left foot down when it's leaving. Lord knows it's taking a hell of a beating. A little bit of love is all that it's needing. But as good as it is tough, I got a heart like a truck.
Let's go.
didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We might have been better off or on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got